Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Well, if you would, we're going to read Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into it. So Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. I didn't organize this in this way. It just happened to fall on Mother's Day. It's a true story. I did not manipulate that in one bit. But it does start out in verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Anybody have a parent who like held that over their head when you were younger? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. Okay. We can all go to counseling together. James' dad was a preacher, too, so that may be why. Somebody else, though. Who else raised their hand? Okay. There's a couple. All right. Yeah, so my dad was like, if you don't, you're going to die young, son. And he would warn me about how that death may come sometimes. You can read into that what you want. But they held that over my head. So every time I read it, I can't help but think back to driving to what used to be Dove Temple Pentecostal Holiness Church in the west side of Spartanburg with my dad on the way to church on Sunday mornings, acting crazy. Y'all remember I said that earlier about Ben? It's all, they laugh when they see Ben because they're like, oh, that's you. Okay. At least he'll be handsome. So you can laugh there. But I remember that vividly every time I read this. But it's scripture, and Paul is writing back to a scripture that he had read himself, that he had memorized when he was a young boy, as they were supposed, like all good Jewish boys and girls supposed to do, in Genesis. So he's remembering this. This has been right at the beginning of his training. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And that promise was, verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Let's pray. God, who is holy and righteous, who looks at all of us the same, we come before you this morning. And we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to you and what you say to us through your word. If you use my words to do that, fantastic. But God, more than what comes out of my mouth, God, would you speak to us? Plant it deep in our hearts that it may transform the way that we act and react throughout our week. In your name we pray. Amen. So it starts out with a call of obedience to our parents. And I could beat this, but I'm not going to, because what I want to do is kind of talk about why Paul wrote this. If you remember last week, coming out of what we have labeled chapter 5, right? Remember, Paul's just writing a letter. And if you ever looked at like some of those written Hebrews, there's no indentations, there's no punctuation, there's no nothing. So good luck, right? So Paul's just writing this whole thing. But what we call chapter 5, we're coming out of it, and he's talking about this submitting aspect. If you remember last week, you thought I was in trouble because it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. But if you remember, he talks right before that about submit to each other. So he's telling everybody. So he's talking about this submissive relationship and what it looks like. He flows right out of that into Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. But he keeps going. Says, Father, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul is pairing those two. I imagine society at that point was similar to ours, where there were good parents and there were parents that weren't so great. And we have to acknowledge, for some people, using family language when it comes to Christianity as a whole and our relationship to God, being a father or a mother, a parent, is troubling for a lot of people. And so we have to kind of acknowledge that and kind of just be able to say right from the get-go that when we're talking about God our Father, God our parent, that we're talking about a parent that is fully loving, fully nurturing, fully able, as we used earlier. In fact, we talked about Wednesday night a little bit, but in Job, I mean, that was where Job finally came down to, even though things weren't going the way he wanted to go, it finally came down to, but you are God, and who am I to question, because you're by your very nature, you are good. So you can't be anything other than love, but some of us, maybe even in this room, experienced parents who were less than that. I was lucky. I had two great parents. They weren't without problems, but I had two great parents. And so this call to obey your parents can be easy for some people, because your parents were mostly good, and if you were disobeying, it probably meant, in my case, you were doing something bad. I have met people, and I've worked with students for 11 years straight. So some of you all who work with students or work with adolescents in some regard probably experienced this. Some parents aren't good, and their instruction to their children is less than adequate and sometimes less than obedient to Scripture. And so for their child to obey them and what they're asking them to do could lead them into rebellion against God. And then if that's isolated without the rest of the Scripture, then that brings a problem for that individual. Mom and dad's asking me to do, mom or dad usually is asking me to do this, or maybe both of them is asking me to do this, and I don't feel like that's right, or maybe it's not right. And I did something wrong, but it's because I did what my parents told me to do. So how do I reconcile this? And that's tough. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We can't gloss over it. We can't write a greeting card slogan about it or give them a bumper sticker to make them feel good. That's tough. And in discipleship, we just have to realize, like, we're entering a messy situation with all people. And so whatever your mess is may be different than mine. Mine wasn't with family things. It was with other things, right? But it's all a mess, and God is in the business of cleaning that up. And so sometimes we have to help people realize that. But I think Paul is wise when he's starting to pair these two, because he kind of adds his phrase, obey your parents in the Lord, which I think, if I'm interpreting this right, the way that I read that is there's an ultimate good, and then there's what's good. And we're going to choose the one that's the best. I mean, and that happens in all aspects of life. There are stories I read, and I know Terry and some other people read The Voice of the Martyrs, and there are people who convert against what their family's wishes for them are to Christianity, and as a result, some of their families kill them. Being obedient to their mom and dad would lead them away from Christ, but they were following the ultimate good, and so they can't read the Scripture with guilt. They have to read the Scripture knowing that this was put into a specific context. And I think that context, Paul sets the parameters for just a verse later. He says, parents, don't overdo it on your kids. Bring them up in the way of the Lord. Because you're setting them up on a path to win. If you bring them up in the way of the Lord and this instruction for them to obey, then there's no struggle. There's no imbalance. But when one of those two things is off, then there is an imbalance. And so for the moms and dads, for me, for you, who, whether you have small kids or not, you guys are all discipling. My kids, James's kids, Zoe, they look up to you guys when they come in here. And so you guys are all discipling, so none of us are off the hook. We have to help bring up kids in the way of the Lord. And that's why when we dedicate Amelia in a couple weeks, we're going to ask you guys, do y'all play a role in this? And you do. Whether you say yes to that or not, you do. And so we have this kind of holy instruction that we're supposed to honor our mother and father. And if you had a mother or father who was less than that, take comfort in knowing that honoring them can be different than just blindly obeying every word that comes out of their mouth, especially if it's antithesis of what you know to be true in the scriptures. I know people who struggle with that. Their moms and dads are kind of on a different path, and yet they honor them as in that role, but don't follow their lead, so to speak. And so that there is that. But my hope is that my lead for my kids and for your kids when they are here and they see me or hear stories about me, that it is leading them towards the right place. And so we all play a role in this bringing up of children and in the children being having a thing to follow that's true and that's good. And so children, obey your parents in the Lord. All of us are children. May be tough for you to hear that. But take comfort in knowing that honoring your mother and father is different. So honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. I have a friend, and I'm not going to reveal his name because sometimes he listens to this podcast, but he talks sometimes about his mother, and he honors her, and he visits her, and he does all things, and it's a burden for him. In fact, for him, it is picking up his cross daily and carrying it. But he knows that that's like he's trying to help disciple his mother, right? He's trying to do that by example. And so for him, it's picking up that cross and carrying it. And for you, that could be the case. It could be that case with your children. With your children, you may want to write them off. They've done too many bad things. They've gone down the wrong road too many times. And it's not that one shot and you're gone, but you're like, this is the 100th shot. And you're messing up. Don't exasperate your children. Bring them up in the way of the Lord. Continue to disciple them. That doesn't say continue to enable, right? But continue to disciple them. That could be your cross to carry in discipleship, of picking up your cross daily. I think it's different for everybody on any given day, right? And we're going to talk about that. And so he jumps from that relationship, parent and child relationship, where he's still, if you're looking at the overall themes, he's still kind of talking about this mutual aspect. He's not using submission right now because that would throw a funny picture in. Children, if their parents are doing the right thing, are to obey their parents, right? But we all are supposed to honor our mother and father, so he's not taking it out, but it's still this kind of two-way street. Children have responsibility, parents have a responsibility. Husbands and wives, your responsibility was similar. Right? So there's still this two-way street. And then he goes into the slaves, into the masters. To us, this text is hard to read. We also have to acknowledge that. Americans have a history with slavery that's less than stellar. And truthfully, to those whose ancestors weren't like me, who weren't affected by the ruling over aspect of slavery, it hits me different. And so sometimes there's a sense of embarrassment, sometimes there's a sense of arrogance, sometimes there's a sense of pride. All these kind of things are wrapped up. And so we just have to kind of acknowledge that and just read this into the text and know what's going on in this time frame. Because in this time frame, about one in every four citizens in the Roman Empire were slaves. And a lot of them, unlike the transatlantic slave trade, a lot of them sold themselves into slavery to pay debts, or they got indebted with someone else. And so so it looked a little different than ours did. But he's talking to those people and said, look, you, for you slaves, you got to obey your master, even if he's a bad master. But what does he tell him? He said, don't do that just because you're a good person, or don't do that because you're seeking reward. Do it because you're a Christian. And so when their eyes are on you, they're seeing something. There's this constant picture, even in the relationship of slave and master, Paul is still taking this picture of discipleship, and that someone's watching how the Holy Spirit has infected your life and moving you, and they're seeing it. And he's saying the same thing to the masters, and so, which is really weird in our context now, you know, 150, 200 years after the transatlantic slave trade, to think masters or believers? It was a different time, right? In fact, go read the book of Philemon. It's really interesting about this story of forgiveness and a master and a slave. But it's there nonetheless. And so he's telling them, he said, treat them fairly. Don't overdo it with them. It's almost like a similar thing to what he was telling the parents. And so in this master and slave relationship, he's telling the same thing. There's this kind of mutual submission. And it's not because society is telling us that that's the case. In fact, society is telling the exact opposite. You're in power. You're in charge. You can do whatever you want. It's your slave. They're telling the slaves the other thing. Like, you got yourself into this in some regard. So whether you like it or not, you got to do what he tells you to do. Those are the rules. And we're going to read this summer a lot of Jesus' scriptures, but just think about that parable when Jesus talks about the mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed. It's a little bitty seed, and it falls into the dirt, and then it dies. And in our context, death is the end, but that's not what happens with the seed. Because once the seed dies, Terry, am I wrong? Okay, good. When I talk about plants, I always have to check off. I didn't check off with Terry first, so I had to make sure. That seed dies, and then what happens? Life springs out of the ground from this death. And it's a beautiful picture of gospel. We're not going there. But then it says it brings forth this life, and then even, like later he talks about mustard seed, he said even the birds of the air like nest in this thing, right? Like it causes like this great thing. But he said the kingdom of God is like that. It's this subversive thing. It's this really small thing. If you've ever watched anything grow, I'm doing that at my house right now. We've got a garden. We have lots of leaves. We don't have a lot of fruit or tomatoes or whatever it is that's in the pot. I don't know what's in the pots, but whatever it is, there's lots of leaves. And it takes time, and you're sitting there just watching it. My boys are like, when's this thing going to happen? And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God's like that. You plant this thing in the ground, it looks like it's dead. It's never coming out again. And then this little thing kind of comes up. And it grows, and then it grows, and then it grows. And so the kingdom of God is a subversive thing, which was really contradictory because they were really expecting the kingdom of God to be this dynamic thing that kind of came in and took over and ruled, and it did. It just didn't look like that. And we're going to go through all of the parables this summer and kind of talk through that, because a lot of his parables was constantly changing their paradigm. But that's what Paul is doing here with this story of the children and the parents, and the story of the slave and the masters. And even because it wasn't a different chapter, even last week when he talks about the husbands and wives, all these kind of things, he's saying society tells us it's this way. Women were not co-equals with their husbands at all. They were not co-equals in society at all. And so when he's writing some of this, it was transformative. And so we have to know in that and read the scripture in that way, just like we do with the slave thing, because it's different, and we have to kind of know why. But it was different. So when he writes that at the beginning of the section that we read last week, which was in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, when he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that was highly controversial. When he tells the slaves and the masters, like, your thing is the exact same, like, submit to each other, like, your relationship looks different, it's the exact same thing. Like, he's taking that relationship that society has and he's flipping it. And he's saying, it ain't the way you think. In fact, you have to pick up your cross daily and deny yourself. You have to carry this burden sometimes. And sometimes it feels like a burden. And sometimes it doesn't. And we thank God for those times that it doesn't. But sometimes it feels like a burden. Sometimes we feel the weight of the cross that we're picking up and we're dragging. But Paul is putting it all in the context because ultimately he's getting to that part at the end where he says there is no favoritism in Christ. There is no man ruling woman or vice versa. There is no master versus slave. There is no parent child. Like, everybody's equal under Christ. And so what he's instructing us and what our encouragement this morning is, whether our role is a parent, whether our role, you know, is a slave, and you look at it and say, I'm a slave. We go to work every day. And somebody's going to hold a paycheck from you if you don't do the work, right? Or you'll lose that. So we can kind of put it in that reference if we like, if it helps us read the scripture better. But what does it look like for us to do all that in obedience to Christ? Not because it's fair or because it's right or because it's what I always thought, but it's because what Christ told us to do, like submit. I've been at work before. Someone comes up to me and I get blamed for something that, you know, I didn't really have a hand in. And I have to clean up the mess and it's like, oh, here's that cross I got to carry. But it's not like complaining about it and defending my case and whatever. It's like, I'm going to pick up my cross and carry it. Why? Because it's going to point someone to Jesus. Because what happens in society? If the slave's obeying his master, that's good. Well, no big deal. If the slave's obeying his master, it's bad. It's kind of a big deal. People want to know, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this thing joyfully? Obeying this mom or this dad who wasn't good, or at least honoring them? Why? The scriptures are constantly calling us to a place because life is going to go bad. Jobs are going to be hard. Someone we don't even like. It's not to say stay there unless God's telling you to stay there. It's not to say move unless God's telling you to move. It's just to say, when you're there, do it as unto Christ. It's this kind of subversive thing. And so the question is, who do we work for? Are we working for whoever? Tidewater? Well, it's right in front of me, so it's easy. Or are we working for Christ? That helps us put in perspective what we're doing. Am I honoring my mother and father? Or in doing that, am I honoring Christ? Am I raising my kid? Am I giving them the opportunity to see grace through the way I interact with them, even when they don't deserve grace? Guess what? That sound familiar? We didn't deserve grace, but yet mercy and grace were shown to us. And that's the beautiful thing of Ephesians. As we work through this whole scripture, Paul is constantly calling us to this place of discipleship. Not a program, but a way to live our life that's just naturally going to point to God. We're going to live our life differently. So when people see that, they see Christ. And so this morning, that's all we got. I think that summarizes what Paul is getting at in these scriptures, is this kind of constant mutual submission, but not so you can get a raise, or not so you can get a pat on the back, or get the gold star, be the favorite kid. It's just because Christ told you to. And sometimes it's easy. For me growing up, obeying my mom and dad was easy. Some of you, it could be the cross that God has asked you to pick up daily and carry. Some of us have really easy jobs and we love them. And we move in them very easily. Some of us, it's very much picking up our cross daily and denying ourselves. And trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to do something through that faithfulness and obedience. Because ultimately that's what it comes back to, is we kind of have to trust. If we're going to do something subversive and something that doesn't look like what everybody else is doing, and I got every right to do whatever it is. And James, if you want to give him a heads up, we're about to wrap up. If you want to. But sometimes it's just picking up a cross and it's denying myself. And I have to trust in whatever aspect of it, what it is, if it's a marital relationship, if it's a, you know, whatever relationship it is, if it's a working relationship, or if it's a family relationship, or if it's husband and wife, or whatever it is, I have to believe and trust that me laying down my right to whatever it is that I have and trusting that God's going to do something with it. Trusting that if I put it in the ground and it dies, that life is going to come out of it. Amen? That is exciting. That kind of makes me want to be obedient just to see what God can do through that. So we're going to pray. James is going to come up, and the team's going to come up. They're going to teach us a new song this morning. But don't let that distract us. It's pretty simple. You can listen to it the first few times. Don't let that distract you from the table that Christ has given us to remember him. If you know the story, and a lot of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, at least know the story, that God came into our lives and did the subversive thing. He didn't rule like a king. And yet life sprang forth. And so to this morning, it may be that we have to trust that through our submission to whatever it is that God's calling us to submit to, that life, it may be to his will. And maybe that's your struggle this morning. I don't know where each of us are individually, but what I do know is all of us are constantly laying down our lives in some way, and it comes back to this trust that this story is real, that God came and he died, and because of that life, well, they tried to eat the fruit so they could get the life, and they actually brought death. God came and said, nope, through death you're going to get life. And that's what we get to remember, that we have a God who kind of changes the narrative, changes the story. And so this morning we're going to remember that. We're going to sing some song, and we're going to worship God as we end this beautiful Mother's Day. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that you called us to this place to love and to serve you. And so, God, we pray that we're faithful with that call in whatever way that looks. And oftentimes it is a subversive thing. And so, God, would you give us, we believe that you're God and that you're good, but sometimes it takes faith to pick up that cross and believe that me denying myself and not getting my way will actually bring life. And so may we have that trust in you, that through your Holy Spirit and your power, that you can change those situations to where life comes out of it. And so, God, we just give this time up to you. We give ourselves over to you. Would you move our spirits and our hearts this morning? In your name we pray. Amen.
I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth. The truth, the light.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.